There we go. This is Ripley from the Rose City Band, also from Moon Duo and Wooden Ships, talking about his brand new album, which is out on Friday, everyone. Garden Party. Here we go.
Are you at home in Portland at the moment, and how's it all going?
Yeah, I'm in Portland. It's the heart of our winter here, so it's dark.
Does it snow?
It snows sometimes, but not often. Mm-hmm. It's actually really funny when it snows here. It sort of shuts everything down.
Yes.
They don't have the infrastructure to deal with it. So it's kind of nice in a lot of ways because people can't really drive. And, you know, we've gone skiing in the streets when it snows here sometimes because they don't plow anything. So
Yeah. A good opportunity to get like towed. Oh, I suppose you might have some cross-country skis over there, mightn't you?
That's what we do, yeah. We have cross-country skis.
Ah, excellent. Excellent. Album number 4 out in April. How's the writing and recording of for Rose City Band evolved over the last 4 to 5 years since your first release?
It's only evolved a little bit because most of it's happened during the pandemic. So that sort of limited growth in a lot of ways. But it's been sort of natural. I think with now that we're playing live shows and there's a live band, there's more people playing on the record. When originally it was just me and the drummer, John Jeffrey, who also plays in Moon Duo. He plays drums on all the records. And the first couple records were just me and him, really. But this last record, we have Barry from the live band on pedal steel and Paul Hassenberg, who plays keys in the band. And then my partner Sinai Yamada added some synth stuff to this record as well. So just brought more people in. So in that sense, it's expanded a little bit.
The first record you did without a lot of fanfare, and it just was released sort of very, kind of covertly. There wasn't a lot of information surrounding the first Rose City Band release. What was the thinking behind that?
I think for me, like, I was just hoping, you know, that it could live on its own for a little while. I knew that I wasn't going to do like some mystery release and try to deny that it was me, but it's always nice if you can get some sort of feedback before people start comparing it to other things that you've done. And I always like, you know, it's always nice to hear something fresh and you have no context. Like, that's sometimes my favorite thing when I discover music. If I just hear something, if I'm in a cafe or just hear something on the radio, I'm just like, what is this? You know, before I know anything about it.
Totally.
That was the idea. And I was just also trying to keep it really a low key, sort of fun project.
Just going back to that point you made about the pandemic, the first album came out, you'd recorded that and released it pre-COVID. But did the pandemic, in a way, become an opportunity for you to focus on this slightly more solo project?
Yeah, and it for me, it's funny thinking back now because I started working on the second one the spring of 2020, I believe. Yeah, so we had to cancel a Moon Duo tour because of the pandemic. Like, as soon as, you know, they started shutting down cities and airports, and we had to fly home. We were on tour in Portugal, and that was a huge bummer for us. And we'd just been down to Australia and New Zealand and had a great time.
Such a good show. Can I just say, amazing show. It was so good. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a bummer because we like built this whole show and we felt like we were really, everything was sort of firing on all cylinders. And to have that shut down was such a bummer. And so I just, it was a good opportunity to just shift gears and focus on the second Rose City Band record. And when I made that one, I had it with the intention of putting a band together and playing shows. And of course, you couldn't play shows for a while, so that everything got kind of stretched out.
How did you go about assembling players to tour with the Rose City Band?
Well, one guy just contacted me via social media and said he was interested and he wanted to get together. Actually, a couple guys did. And
all Portland locals?
Portland locals. And my friend Dewey, who plays bass in the band, he's been in loads of bands, and he's always my go-to for information about Portland because he's lived here for so long. And he ran a record shop or a musical instrument store as well. And so I asked him if he knew anyone who might be interested, and I was looking for a bass player in particular, and he said, actually, I'd love to play bass. And he was a guitar player mostly. And he said, yeah, and my buddy Dustin is a drummer, and they've been playing in bands together, so they had a really good bond already, which is great for rhythm section. Yeah, and then Barry, the pedal steel player, I'd met him before, and he was the only pedal steel player I knew. Mm-hmm. So I'd asked him to play on the last on Earth Trip, the last record. And so when I was putting the band together, I just asked him if he'd be interested, and he was really excited about it. So
yes,
it all came around pretty naturally.
And it seems obviously it has evolved into all of these people contributing to Garden Party this time around in the studio, as well as being the band that you take out on the road. Yeah,
not everyone's on it, but a couple of the guys are. I still like, I do like having control over the recording process, and I like playing bass on it, and I like playing some keyboards, and you know, some things I can't do, I just don't have the skill set. But yeah, like I said, it's opened up a little more on this one, and maybe the next one will be even more open to more of a live thing. But
how quickly?
Actually, I like the fact that there's, you know, something is recorded in the studio and it's a studio product, and then when you make it a live thing, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big Neil Young fan, so I always like look to him. You know, he always does that. He'll record a record and then he'll tour with a different band and mix things up constantly.
Yes, yeah, keep it exciting for everyone.
Yeah.
How quickly did this come together? Did Garden Party come together in the studio for you?
It took just a couple of months, but not of solid work.
Mm-hmm.
We did the drums and the guitar live and in the studio, and then everything else for the most part did at home.
Yeah,
went back in to do some keyboard stuff, but a lot of the, you know, the guitars and the vocals and Barry's pedal steel playing, he recorded himself. So a lot of stuff we can do at home, which is great. So we don't have to, like, again, just trying to keep things as stress-free and as mellow as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have the skills or the equipment to really record drums well.
Yes.
So that's the one reason I go in. But I don't love the studio atmosphere. I don't love being on the clock.
Yeah.
I don't love, you know, when the time is money, so like the clock's ticking and you're just, there's this pressure
to get the take. Yeah.
So I like, it's nice to just record at home, and whenever I'm feeling it, then I can make a pass at something.
Mm-hmm. Broadly speaking, when you think about Windships, Moon Duo, and the Rose City Band, is there a clear line between them all in your head, or do they all flow from the same creative well?
They all flow from the same well, but like they all scratch a different itch for me, mm-hmm. you know, musically. And I think, you know, we haven't really been doing any Wooden Ship stuff for a while, so I kind of think of that as being in the past a little bit.
Yeah.
But the Rose City Band stuff, like, I'd always wanted to do something with a little more country flavor and a little more of a rootsy flavor, just because I listen to a lot of music like that.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the roots of my passion for music. Like, goes back to, like, being a kid and listening to classic rock records and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got into punk and I got into Stooges and I got into like heavier stuff, and that fed into, you know, some of the Wooden Ship stuff for sure at the beginning. And I've just been enjoying exploring this other type of, or this other feeling of music that I hadn't explored before.
Yes.
It isn't really important to me, you know.
In the supplied press release from Thrill Jockey, there's mention of Rose City Band being described as porch music. Could you elaborate on porch music?
Yeah. So we have a porch here, and
we listen to music on that porch.
We listen to music. You know, it's just like, it's like, you know, like beach music or campfire music, porch music. It's all kind of the same to me. Or like going down to the river, a swimming hole or something. You know, something. When I was a kid, you know, we had the boombox and we'd listen to tunes and go walk around in the woods. And I just still have that part of me, just sitting outside and listening to tunes and daytime jams, you know?
Yeah.
And in this project, I always, you know, I'm always trying to like capture some sort of optimistic feeling, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, I'm always wrestling with the dark and the light, you know, as everyone is. And for this music especially, like, I just intentionally want to make it something that feels good, you know, that it relates to music that I listen to, like, it picks me up, you know. And there's a place for dark music, of course. Mm-hmm. But that's not what this is. And that's the part of the porch music thing. It's just like sitting out on the porch in the sunny afternoon, having a strum, watching the cars go by.
Yeah. Having a good time. Yeah, excellent.
Having a good time. Yeah. Yeah.
Part two of this interview with Ripley from Rose City Band.
Now, I've got a series of open-ended questions. I've got about 8 of them here. Feel free to answer them however you like, as seriously or as lightly. How do you define what you do, and how did you come to do it?
I usually say I'm a musician when people ask what I do. And how did I come to do it? And I feel like it's sort of a miracle that I am doing it as, you know, as a full-time passion project, because I, you know, for years I worked in an office and I was kind of a failed musician for a long time. And I've been in lots of bands that, you know, had no success, no real success. and it sort of came to me later in life. So, but yeah, I mean, I basically describe myself as a musician. And...
Describe your first musical memory.
Ooh, first musical memory. That's a tough one. I can describe something. One of my earliest memories is from a Christmas Eve in the family station wagon. We used to go over to my grandparents' house for Christmas Eve, and that's where we would meet up with my mom's family, like all her sisters and all my cousins, and it was quite a big like Irish Catholic family, and we would do like a dinner. And I remember being in the station wagon listening to AM radio and just sort of falling asleep, looking out the window, seeing the snow falling, and just hearing that crackle of like AM soft AM radio hits. Yeah, so that's an early memory for me.
Nice. Describe your best musical memory to date.
Wow. My best musical memory. I think probably like one of the strongest for me was on one of the first Wooden Ships tours when we were in London and we were playing in a place called the Scala, and it was one of the first times we'd played like a big show in a big city. And I remember waiting backstage and we were about to go on and just having that moment. It was almost like, you know, in a movie when like the boxer is waiting to go out for the big fight or something. And I was standing behind this door and I had one of those moments where I was just like, I'm never going to forget this moment, you know, even though it's not like a huge club. It wasn't like a big deal, but to me, it was a really big deal.
Yes. Yeah. You can feel the energy.
Yeah. And it just felt like, I can't believe I'm actually doing this.
Yes.
After having given up on music, you know, for a long time, and finally having it somehow, everything working out, at least up to that moment.
I've asked that question to a lot of people, and that's my favorite answer thus far. Nice one.
Thank you.
Where do you feel artistic progression leads?
Hopefully artistic progression leads. I mean, I think of this a lot about the journey and how whenever I make a record, almost immediately I'm thinking about the next record and how I could do it better or how I could capture the emotions that I'm trying to capture in a truer way, you know? And it's interesting because when you make records, everything is delayed. So when you write and record a record and then it doesn't come out for like a year. So by the time it comes out, you're a completely different person.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're in a completely different place. But I'd like to think that the progression, you know, if you're true to yourself, then the progression is infinite. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no place to get to.
Yes.
And it's not really about up or down. It's just, to me, it's more about truer and truer and trying to capture a feeling in a real way, which almost can never be done, like, or it can be done in a real way, but you never quite get there. So
yes.
You're always redoing it and over again. It's sort of this, I mean, it's kind of a Buddhist thing, like you're just going through this cycle over and over again and trying to get closer and closer to some sort of truth.
Yes. How do you define success?
I think there's a couple, you know, there's a few levels of that. Like there's, you know, sort of success on a financial level, I guess, and an artistic level. They're two different things. And for me, I do struggle with this when it comes to music. There's the music industry and there's the music business, and then there's the music itself. Mm-hmm. And for me, I always try to just focus on the music and hopefully everything flows from there.
Yes. Yeah.
So for me, again, back to just trying to capture real emotion, like I always feel successful if I listen back to something I've done and I feel it, like I just feel something, even if it's just during like one part of the song, like a guitar solo or just the groove of it. And it's just, if it makes me feel what I want it to feel, then I consider that successful.
Okay, nice one. Okay, three more questions and then we're done on all this heavy lifting. Describe something you haven't created yet that you'd like to create.
Oh, wow. Well, I feel like with Mundo, we were close to like creating like a show we created a show that I was really proud of. I think with the Rose City Band, the one thing that I would like to create is a live show that will really blow people away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're such a fresh band still, you know, we've only really toured once. So we're on that journey and it feels pretty exciting. But yeah, to be able to deliver a show where people walk away and they're like, that was great. That's my goal.
Nice. And what do you believe is the most essential function of art?
For me, I think art, it pierces the veil of the mundane in our lives so that we see things in a new way. We see the beauty of existence, the beauty of the universe through art in a new way, and it makes us feel that sort of oneness with the unlimited beauty that is our universe and our existence, which so often is kept from us or hidden from us or obscured from us by the mundane sort of lives that we have to live most of the time.
And last question, what's something non-musical that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to spring. I saw that my first flower yesterday, just walking around town. So you can see the buds coming out, and you know, I appreciate winter, but I'm looking forward to spring.
All right, dude. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
See you soon, and all the best for the record and the shows in the States and Europe.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
There we go. Ripley from Rose City Band. Brand new album, Garden Party, out on Friday. I was lucky enough to get my hands on a copy a wee while ago. It's fantastic. Check it out. Only limited copies of this in Aotearoa, so go grab one.